Thanks, everyone. Well done. Please take your seats. And let me say good morning as well. It's really lovely to have you here. I'm Andy. I'm the vicar. And what I want to do now is I just want to introduce the Bible passage that we're going to be thinking about a bit later on this morning. If you've been here over the past few weeks, you'll know that we're looking at Matthew's Gospel at the moment, and we're going to look at the next bit of Matthew. And to help us think about that, I want us to think about what it says up on the screen at the moment, which is when signs are important. Now, in life, you see lots of signs, don't you, in different places. Maybe when you're down in a car, maybe you see lots of signs for cars, or maybe on walls and things like that. Now, you get different kinds of signs, don't you? Some signs are quite funny. Here's a funny sign that I saw. It says, "Drive slow and see our city. Drive fast and see our jail." That's quite a good sign, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever seen anything like that. Well, here's another funny one that I saw. And it said, "Caution, low-flying aircraft." And it just looks as though maybe an airplane has just knocked the top of it. But it can't have been flying that low, can it? Some signs are a little bit silly. Here's a silly sign that I saw. It says, "This product contains peanuts." And it's an enormous container full of peanuts. Of course it contains peanuts. That's very silly, isn't it? Now, I've got a question, though, for you to think about. Here's a sign, and I want you to tell me why you think this sign is important, okay? Now, just maybe talk to someone nearby. Why do you think that sign is important? And then, has anyone got any answers? Do you want to shout out an answer? Go on, Murray. So you don't get caught by a speed camera and lose some points. You're talking like a driver there, Murray. Well done. Also, you don't want to hit anyone, do you? You don't want to knock any children over or anything like that. So that's quite an important sign. Now, here's a sign that might be less easy to understand, but I think this is an important one as well. Maybe some of the grown-ups can help with this one. Why is this sign important? Just have a talk to someone nearby. Does anyone know what that sign means and why that sign might be important? Go on, Daniel. Very good. Yeah, Daniel understands it perfectly. It's a sign. The H stands for hospital, and the A and the E stand for accident and emergency, and it's a sign telling you where you should go. Can you think of why you might need to go there? Has anyone ever had to go there? Go on, Zoe. You might have to go there if you feel really sick, that's right, or maybe you fall over and you break your arm or something like that. Well, that's an important sign to know about, isn't it, to know where the hospital is. Well, the Bible passage that we're going to look at a bit later on from Matthew's Gospel, it's to do with when signs are important. And in our Bible passage today, we'll be reminded of a very important sign. Jesus said that John the Baptist was a sign. Jesus said that John the Baptist was a bit like a sign pointing to him, to Jesus. And John was an important sign because Jesus was so important. Jesus will give his life on the cross so that anyone who comes to him can enter the kingdom of God forever. And so John was a very important sign. And we're going to think about that a bit later on as we look at the Bible together. So I'm going to hand back to Craig now.
Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to be reading from the International Children's Bible, so the words will be on the screen for you to follow along. So, Matthew 21, starting at verse 23. Jesus went to the temple. While he was teaching there, the leading priests and the elders of the people came to Jesus. They said to him, "Tell us, what authority do you have to do these things? Who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered, "I will ask you a question too. If you answer me, then I will tell you what authority I have to do these things. Tell me, when John baptized people, did that come from God or from man? The priests and the leaders argued about Jesus' questions. They said to each other, if we answer John's baptism was from God, then Jesus will say, then why didn't you believe John? But if we say it was from man, we are afraid of what the people will do, because they all believed that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then Jesus said, then I won't tell you with what authority I have to do these things. Tell me, what do you think about this? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first son and said, son, go and work today in my vineyard. The son answered, I will not go. But later, the son decided he should go, and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said, son, go and work today in my vineyard. The son answered, yes, sir, I will go and work. But he did not go. Which one of the two sons obeyed his father? The priests and the leaders answered, the first son. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God before you do. John came to show you the right way to live, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed John. You saw this, but you still refused to change and believe him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Brilliant. Please take a seat, everyone. Thank you to the musicians for leading us just then. Thank you very much also to Leanna and Shanton, Mari and Daniel for leading us so well in our prayers. That's wonderful. And what we're going to do now is we're going to think about the Bible passage that Becky just read for us. And do you remember earlier we were thinking about how John the Baptist is a bit like a sign who points to Jesus? Well, Jesus is about to talk about that. We're in the last week of Jesus' life. Jesus has traveled down from the north in Galilee, down to the south, down to Jerusalem, the capital city. And Jesus has caused a huge fuss since arriving. Huge crowds cheered Jesus as the king as he arrived. He then threw people out of the temple who were doing bad things in the temple, buying and selling things. He allowed little children to praise him as the Messiah, as the promised king. He caused a huge stir, a huge amount of excitement. And Jesus then comes back the next day, and this is the Tuesday before his enemies then killed him on the cross on Good Friday. And the Jewish leaders are waiting for him. And I'm going to put the Bible verses up on the screen so that you can follow along. And it says, Jesus went to the temple, and while he was teaching there, ... because I want to show you some pictures so that you can have in mind what it would have looked like. So here's a picture of the temple. The temple was very, very big. You can imagine literally thousands of people would have been in there. And I can't actually reach up there. Maybe I can put my shadow finger. Jesus would have been teaching maybe around there because there were some pillars like that. And there would have been a big crowd around him, and Jesus would have been teaching like that. By the columns, by the side. Now, let's see what happens next. While he was teaching there, the leading priests and the elders of the people came to Jesus, and they said to him, tell us, what authority do you have to do these things? Who gave you this authority? Now, you tell me, how do you think they were feeling when they said that? Any idea? Do you think they were feeling very happy and calm? Go on, Murray. Angry. Yes, I think they were angry. They were angry, religious leaders. They were like that. They were angry with Jesus. They say, what authority do you have to do these things? They mean, who's told you that you can do these things? Who's given you permission to do these things? Who's given you authority to do these things? And they're asking Jesus in front of a very big crowd. And Jesus gives a very clever reply. And we're going to see this. Can you look right at the top of the screen? We're going to see that Jesus came with God's authority. Jesus came with God's authority, but it's a very clever reply. So just have a look at what comes next. Verse 24, Jesus answered, "I will ask you a question too. If you answer me, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Tell me, when John baptized people, did that come from God or from man?" Now, John the Baptist had come just before Jesus, and he had told people to turn away from their sin and to be baptized, to have a sort of a wash, and to come to Jesus. And the baptism was a picture of their sins being washed away. And basically, John was like this. Just look at me for a moment. John the Baptist was like a sign, a big sign, pointing people to Jesus. And he was saying, you've got to go to Jesus, the one who was promised. So it's like a big sign, okay? So that's how it worked. That's what John was like. He was like a big sign. And you might remember he wore some strange clothes. He wore some camel hair clothes. And he also ate some strange food. He ate some locusts. I've got some locusts here. Can you hear that? They're nice and crunchy. But basically, John, I'm going to be chewing those locusts for a while. John was like a sign pointing people to Jesus. That's what he was doing. And Jesus asked the religious leaders, sorry, these locusts are taking a while. Jesus asked the religious leaders, when John the Baptist did that, did God send him or not? And you know the answer, don't you? What's the answer? What's the answer? Did God send him or not? Yes or no? Yes, he did, didn't he? God sent him. The answer is very easy, but it puts the religious leaders in a difficult spot. Just have a look at the screen again. The priests and the leaders argued about Jesus' question. Remember, this is in front of a huge, great, big crowd of people listening. And now the leaders all huddle together and they whisper and they say, flipping heck, what do we say now? Verse 25, they said to each other, is that the right bit? Hang on. The priests and the leaders argued about Jesus' question. They said to each other, if we answer John's baptism was from God, then Jesus will say, then why didn't you believe John? But if we say it was from man, we're afraid of what the people will do, because they all believe that John was a prophet. Now, not all of the ordinary people were baptized by John, but most of them at least thought he was a prophet. And so the Jewish leaders can't say that he wasn't, because the crowd in the temple will get angry with them. But neither can the leaders say that John was sent by God, because John was a sign like this, wasn't he? Now, what do you think would happen? What would the religious leaders be saying if they say that John came from God? Tell me, what would they be saying about Jesus if they said that John came from God? Any children shout out an answer for me? Maybe that's a slightly harder question. Say it loud, Sam. They'd be saying that Jesus came from God as well, wouldn't they? If they admit that John came from God and John's job was to be a sign, then they would be saying that Jesus came from God. They'd be saying, like it says at the top of our screen, that Jesus came with God's authority. And they don't want to say that. So verse 27 up on the screen. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. And then Jesus said, then I won't tell you what authority I have to do these things. Jesus is being very clever, very wise. A huge crowd is listening. And Jesus is saying, He's reminding the crowd that John came from God. He's cleverly showing them that he came from God. And he's cleverly showing that the Jewish leaders are not listening to God. Like it says at the top of the screen, Jesus came with God's authority. Now, I need your help, children, for a moment, because I've got a few questions for you. If this person tells you that a road has been blocked and you can't walk down it, what authority does he have? Shout it out. What authority does he have? He's a policeman. That's right, Mari. So he has the authority of the police, doesn't he? How about this person? If this person tells you to be quiet, what authority does she have? Go on, Daniel. She's a teacher, so I guess she has the authority of the school or of the head teacher. How about this person? If this person tells you to lie down on the ground, what authority do they have? Someone who hasn't spoken? Does anyone know? Scarlett or Elliot, do you know what authority this person would have if they told you to lie down, or Sarana or Shudder? Any ideas? Go on, Zoe. Yeah, he's a soldier, so that he has the authority to tell you. I guess it's the authority of the army or the government. How about this person? If this person says, hey, don't worry, you can trust me, just before you have an operation, what authority do they have? Go on, Shudder. Oh, nice and loud for me. They have authority to take care of you. That's right, and because why? Who are they? Say again, nice and loud. Because they're a doctor, that's right. They have the authority of being a well-trained doctor. They know what they're talking about, that's right. But if this person, and that's Jesus, if this person tells you to turn to him so that he can give you eternal life, he speaks with God's authority. He speaks with the authority of the living God. He has all the authority. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. Children, when you're at school, you've got friends who are Muslims, and you've got friends who are Hindus, and you've got friends who don't believe in any God. And your teacher will tell you that all of those different things are fine. And of course, we have to be very kind to everyone. But we need to remember that only Jesus came with God's authority. Only Jesus can give eternal life. Jesus came with God's authority. And actually, that's wonderful news because he's brilliant. It means that we can trust him. He is powerful and he is good. He is wonderful. And we can trust him. And just notice, everyone, from this Bible passage, that religious leaders not listening to Jesus is nothing new. It happened 2,000 years ago in Jesus' day. It's happening in our day too with the bishops in the Church of England. And it's very sad, but it's nothing new. And we want to make sure we're on Jesus' side, don't we? Jesus has all the authority. He came with God's authority. And we're going to sing now, so I'm going to invite the musicians to come to the front. We're going to be singing about how Jesus came as our Savior, our Rescuer. And as we sing that, Ellie's going to show us some actions. So children, if you want to join in with the actions, that's great. Grown-ups, you don't have to if you don't want to, but if you do, that's fine. So why don't we stand and let's sing together about Jesus who came into this world. Thanks, everyone. Take a seat, please. And Becky, I wonder if you could move your chair just to in front of the table. And the musicians are going to take their seats. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. And we're going to look now at the second part of our Bible reading. We've just seen that Jesus came with God's authority. Jesus now carries on speaking with the Jewish leaders And we're about to see what it says there at the top of the screen. Jesus came with God's authority. So don't just say that you'll serve God, but turn to Jesus. And Jesus tells a short story. I'm going to tell you the story, and I want you to listen closely because I'm going to ask you a question at the end, okay? So verse 28, Jesus talking to the religious leaders in front of this big crowd, and he says, "Tell me what you think about this. There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first son, and he said, 'Son, go and work today in my vineyard.' The son answered, 'I will not go.' But later the son decided he should go, and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said, 'Son, go and work today in my vineyard.' The son answered, 'Yes, sir, I will go and work.' But he didn't go." Now here's the question for all of you. It's the same question Jesus asked. Which of the two sons obeyed his father? Was it the first or was it the second? Do you want to hold up a finger? Hold up one finger if you think the first. Hold up two fingers if you think the second. Let's have a look. Let me see your finger. Come on, all of you. Grown-ups as well as children, that's it. Yeah, I think most of you got it right. Brilliant, thank you. Hands down. It's the first, isn't it? It's the first son. Verse 31, the priests and the leaders answered, "The first son." Now, Jesus is telling this story to the Jewish leaders for a reason. He wants to show them that they are like the second son. The second son said, "Oh, I'll go and work," but then he didn't. The religious leaders say that they'll serve God, but they're not. They're ignoring Jesus, and Jesus tells this story to warn them, and he wants the crowd to know it as well. Now, it's time for some acting. I'll be the farmer, but I need a volunteer to be the first son or daughter. It's very easy, and you get a reward. Shoulda, why don't you come up to the front for me? Okay. I'm the farmer, so I'm going to need my farmer's cap. So I look like an authentic farmer. Thank you very much. Shoulda, come in. Why don't you stand just there? My farmer's spade, because I'm a hard-working farmer. So now I look just like a farmer, as I'm sure you agree. And in my best farmer's accents, I'm going to say to my son or daughter here, I don't know if I can say the word daughter in a farmer's accent, so I'm going to say son, okay? "Son, it's time for you to go out to work." And you need to say no really loudly, really loudly.
No.
You've got to be louder than that.
No.
No, that's right. And I look sad. So I put my, I basically go off over here. And then you can relax. So Shuda, why don't you take a seat there? And in front of you, you'll find a chocolate and you'll find a comic book. So eat the chocolates and look at the comic book for a while and just relax. I'd eat the chocolate quite quickly, because you need to go to work quite soon, because that's how the story goes. So eat the chocolates. So there's my daughter, and she's doing her own thing, and she's relaxing. But then she thinks to herself, I should probably go out to work. So Shuda, up you get, and go and sit down. Thank you very much. Let's give Shuda a clap for helping out. Now, Jesus says this to explain. Jesus said to them, to the Jewish leaders, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you do." He's saying the first son that we just saw acted out is a picture of all the sinners around them. And it's like sinners start by saying no to God. They say, "We don't want to serve God. We want to go and be like tax collectors and cheat people and steal money. We want to go and be like prostitutes and earn money in a bad way. we don't care about God. But then later, they listen to John the Baptist, and they turn from their sins, and they trust in Jesus, and they do go and serve God. They're like the first son. Now I need another actor. It's really easy, and you get a reward. Yes, is it Ellie? Do you want to come up to the front, Ellie? Brilliant. Eliana, come up here to the front. Now, can you stand there where you saw Shudder stand there before? Yeah, that's it. Brilliant. So you stand there. And I need to get my farmer's costume back on. So I'll get my hat back on and my farmer's spade so I look like an authentic farmer. And I say in my farmer's accent again, how would I say it? Like, daughter. Is that how I'd say it? Okay, I'll say that. Daughter, I need you to go out to work. And then you say really loudly, oh, you bet.
Oh, you bet.
That's right, you bet. And then you go and sit down on the chair, and we need another chocolate for you. And you relax. So you enjoy reading the comic book, and open that and have a chocolate. And I'm really happy as a farmer because I think, brilliant, so I've got a really hard-working daughter who's going to do the right thing. So I go off out here expecting my daughter to come and help. But she never goes out to work. She just sits there. Do you want some help getting into that chocolate so that you can relax? Because the thing is, you're going to be there for such a long time. I've got two chocolates for you. So here we go. So I'm going to let me open that up for you. You rip them at the top. That's the key. There you go. Oh, hang on. So there you go. Eat that one. Eat that one too. And just relax. It's the dandy annual. You'll have a great fun time. Now, we could stay here for quite a long time because nothing's going to happen. Eliana's just going to sit there. She's going to enjoy herself. She's going to eat chocolate. Is she going to go out to work? No, she's not. Well, there we go. Well, you've made your point, Eliana. Brilliant. Why don't you go and take a seat? Give her a big round of applause. Thank you for helping me out. Now, Jesus says this to explain, and he's speaking to the religious leaders. So if you're a reader, look up at the screen, follow along. Jesus says, John came to show you the right way to live, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed John. You saw this, but you still refused to change and believe him. Now, John came as a sign. Do you remember? John the Baptist came as a sign. He told people to turn away from their sins. He told them to trust in Jesus. Jesus gives forgiveness. Jesus gives eternal life. Jesus shows us how to live now in this life. But the religious leaders didn't believe John. They ignored John the Baptist, and they ignored Jesus. But the sinners, people like tax collectors and people like prostitutes, many of them believed John, and many of them became followers of Jesus. But even then, the religious leaders ignored John and Jesus. They saw some of the worst people come to Jesus and be forgiven and have their lives completely changed. But even then, the religious leaders ignored Jesus. The Jewish leaders are like Eliana. They say they want to serve God, but they never do. They never turn to Jesus. They never serve God. And it's a lesson for us. Like it says at the top of the screen, Jesus came with God's authority. So don't just say that you'll serve God, but turn to Jesus. And it's a big danger for you and for me. The danger is you and I will simply say that we'll serve God. We'll just talk about it. We'll just say that we serve God. That's the big danger. And the danger is we'll say that we're a Christian and that we'll come to church. Maybe we'll give away some of our money. But you never actually have a friendship with Jesus. But God doesn't just want us to say that we'll serve him. God wants us to actually turn around. He wants us to turn away from our sins and to actually have a friendship with Jesus. And do you know that some people can make that mistake for their whole life? And at the end of their lives, people say, well, I know that they said they were a Christian, but you know, I'm not really sure. Well, we need to make sure that that's not us. Whether we're very young or we're very old, let's make sure that we actually turn to Jesus. And did you notice the really wonderful news in this Bible passage? Jesus says that even the very worst of sinners can come to him and can enter the kingdom of God. I wonder what your worst sin is. I wonder what the thing that you've done in your life is that's the most cruel thing you've ever done. Or the most embarrassing, bad thing that you've ever done. Maybe it's something to do with money, like the tax collectors. Maybe you stole something or you were very greedy. Or maybe it's something to do with your love life, like the prostitutes. And as you think about that, you feel shame, you feel pain. Well, the wonderful news in this Bible passage is that Jesus came for the very worst of sinners. He came for me, and he came for you. And he came to die and rise so that we can go into the kingdom of God if we do this. If we turn from our sins and we trust in Jesus, who died for sin on the cross, who rose from the dead, we can come to him, we can have life forever in the kingdom of God if we turn to him. Isn't that wonderful? Well, that's what we see in this passage this morning. Why don't we bow our heads and I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for John the Baptist, who was a sign pointing people to you. We thank you that you are the great King, the one who came to die for our sins and to rise from the dead. Thank you that if we turn from our sins and come to you, we can have forgiveness and life forever in your kingdom. We want to say thank you, and we praise you for that wonderful good news. Amen.